The Daniel K. Inouye Solar Telescope under construction on the summit of Haleakala is said to be on track for opening next year. DKIST, as scientists call it, is the largest solar telescope ever built. For an explanation of the science going on at the facility, our producer Ryan Finnerty spoke with solar astronomer Tom Shad as they toured the seven-story telescope.
DKIST is really taking leaps and bounds for solar physics and solar astronomy. So this telescope in particular, we're looking at just the sun. We're concentrating on the sun itself. And by leaps and bounds, I mean this is the world's largest solar telescope once it's operational. And some concept of what it means to be the world's largest solar telescope, we can look at what used to be the Haleakala solar telescope, which is this small dome down here on the right. That's the size of a dome using very small mirrors, small lenses, of the size maybe, you know, a foot or two across. And all of a sudden, you can see the big change or the contrast to DKIST, which has a 4-meter mirror that collects some 100 times more light than something like this.
How much larger is the new telescope than what's currently here?
Well, so the world's largest solar telescope right now is in Big Bear, California, and it's a mirror that's 1.6 meters across. And this one here has a mirror that's 4 meters across. So that's about a factor of 10 or more in terms of total area. And that's really what counts. The total area is what determines how much light you collect from the sun. And a lot of people don't necessarily appreciate that even though the sun is very, very bright, we actually need big mirrors to collect as much light as we can because we're looking at the detail at such small scales and over small pieces of the solar electromagnetic spectrum that every single little piece of light that we can observe, every photon from the sun, is precious to us because it gives us greater and more accurate measurements of what's going on the surface of the sun, and that's really what we care about.
So you'll be looking at our sun, not stars in other solar systems.
Exactly. I mean, that's one of the, I mean, the sun is the Rosetta Stone of astronomy, as we call it. It is that what we use to understand how atoms form different pieces of the electromagnetic spectrum, how spectral lines give us information about the gas variables, the temperatures, the pressures, the densities. Only the sun is where we can study that in such great resolution. And what we learn there, we can then apply to the other stars and other suns and other solar systems.
And why build this telescope on Haleakala?
There's multiple reasons, but there's two main ones. One, and a lot of it goes back to measurements that we made during what's called the survey period for telescopes. Back, I think it was 2002 to 2004, we surveyed a number of sites across the globe. And what we're really looking for is two things. We're looking for a site that is very clear. It has a lot of sunshine hours and very clear skies. And the other thing is that it is not, those skies are not disturbed by turbulence that is built up during the day. So just as, you know, if you're driving along a desert highway in Arizona, you look across the road and all of a sudden you see the turbulent atmosphere above the road breaking up the image. Mm-hmm. We want to find a site that doesn't give us that problem because we want pristine images. So we come to a place like Haleakala and it's amazing because we have a nice wind flow over the mountain and nice cool air coming up that actually keeps the air clean, but it also keeps the air laminar and smooth. And that eliminates much of that turbulence. So it's one of the best sites in the world in order to keep to look at the little bitty details of the sun.
Is there a difference between Haleakala and Mauna Kea? There are a lot of telescopes over on the Big Island. What makes this site ideal for this type of telescope?
It's an interesting question. I don't have a lot of experience with it, but what I've been told is the geological history of Mauna Kea and Haleakala are very different. So the dust environment is very different. So Mauna Kea might have more dust per se than Haleakala. And dust for us is a major impact when we're looking at the solar corona, which is one of the very dim, faint things that are around, a faint structure around the sun itself. And that dust can have an impact on our imaging quality. However, the other thing is actually, there's really big differences between the imaging quality during the day and that during the night. And it turns out from what I've heard that actually the imaging quality during the day is better here on Haleakala than it is on Mauna Kea.
And so that's maybe counterintuitive, but because this is a solar telescope, you're actually operating during the daytime rather than the nighttime like most other telescopes.
Exactly, yeah, that's the key difference.
And when do you expect to go operational with this telescope?
So at the moment right now, we're putting in the major pieces of the optics and the instruments are coming along in their fabrication and they'll go in next year. And then we hope to really start serving the science community and producing data early 2020.
And what will some of the first pieces of data you'll be collecting? What types of unknown phenomena are you hoping to study initially?
Well, so we're interested in a very diverse set of phenomena on the sun. But actually right now, the sun is going through what is called the solar minimum. So the sun has a cycle. It has about 11-year on average cycle, where sometimes it has many sunspots, or these very strongly intense magnetic field regions on the sun. And then it goes through periods where that doesn't exist. And right now we're entering in that period where there's no sunspots. So the features that we're interested in right away are very tiny, small, what we call granules, or features of the convection, of the boiling pot on the surface of the sun. So when we first turn this thing on, this DKIST, and we have some of the highest resolution images that the world has ever seen of the sun, what we're looking for is what detail is at that small scale. Because in part, that detail is what is going to tell us exactly what creates the magnetic field on the sun. So in part, those images will help us test whether the models that we've been creating over the last decade are anywhere close to being correct. But there's also just the fun aspect of being able to see the sun at a detail that nobody's ever seen before.
Anything else you'd like people to know about the project?
Lots. Let's take a look. We'll show you more as we go.
The exterior of DKIST is largely complete, but significant work is still taking place under the dome. After climbing several flights of stairs, we're standing in the main laboratory that will house 5 custom-built instruments. The entire room can rotate to allow each instrument to collect light as the sun moves throughout the day.
This is the Coudet lab, but this is really the heart of DKIST in a way, because this is where all of the science gets done. The 5 instruments that are going to be placed on this platform are really going to fill this volume in a way that you maybe can't imagine. Right now it's empty. It's an empty laboratory, but once we bring in all the equipment, it's going to be very full. What's really powerful about this telescope is that each one of those instruments shares the light. So as you asked, the light comes down from above, but we are able to split that light in different ways. So one instrument that might look at the visible light and one instrument that might look at the infrared light can do that at the same time. And that really empowers our science, because different pieces of light tell you about different layers of the sun. So what we're really trying to do is 3D imaging of the sun by using the light in special ways.
Next, we go to the upper level of the telescope, inside the iconic dome that can be seen from the outside. The dome is several stories high and houses 7 mirrors that will direct sunlight into the lab below. But with all that focused light comes heat, and that is a problem.
In front of us, of course, we have the very large telescope mount assembly where the telescope actually sits, the prime mirror. But around us is the enclosure, or the shelter for the telescope.
The dome part that everyone sees.
Right. And in the dome, you can see these mechanical louvers, or windows, that can be opened. So we have all of these louvers that allow wind to passively cool our systems inside. But then actually on the external part of the enclosure, we also have plate coils that actively cool the entire enclosure using cooled water that's created from a facility just outside of here. And that's all in service of creating a perfect image.
So managing temperature is a huge part of this project.
Enormous. It's a telescope in part and a refrigerator in another.
That was producer Ryan Finnerty talking to solar astronomer Tom Shad. The solar telescope is currently on schedule to begin producing images of the sun at the beginning of 2019. That data will help scientists continue unraveling the mysteries of the universe beyond our planet. For more information, visit the Conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org.